Blog Talk Radio.
Prepared for those of us that are living according to your command.
a mansion laid in reserve. But until you come, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their sins. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, hallelujah, words of wisdom, to hallelujah, to those that are hurt deep within the epitome of their soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we as in unity shall say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I just thank God for enabling me to join you tonight on this beautiful evening, the eve of Christmas, on tonight. And so we're going to go on into our program because I know time is steady ticking away. And so we're going to keep it with the season atmosphere. I'm not going to bring, you know, a heavy song or anything, but I just want to keep it joyful, you know, because this is a message to, it's an informative message to just, I hope to uplift your spirit and to enlighten you. And so, like I said, just going to keep it in the Christmas atmosphere. And so, our sermon on tonight, hallelujah, is entitled, Take Action. I want to say that one more time. Take Action. And our key scripture will be coming from the law of Matthew 5 and 29. And it reads like this. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. That reading is from the law of Matthew 5 and 29. Hallelujah. Now, we know that when Nehemiah heard about the condition of Jerusalem and the Jewish remnant, he was devastated. How could this happen to a once glorious city and a great nation? Something terrible must have happened to change the fortune of this people to drastically. Nehemiah knew what it was. The people had sinned against God. We sometimes think of sin as a harmful offense with very few real consequences. You might say, after all, we think, I'm the only person affected by my sin, and that only if I get caught. But Nehemiah could testify to the tragic consequences of the sins of this people. We know that the whole nation had been devastated, and the city that stood as a symbol to God's greatness had become a disgraceful waste of time. We know as we survey the current state, hallelujah, of our communities, many of us like Nehemiah are apt to weep and mourn. Many of our cities are becoming waste heaps, and many of our people are in great affliction and reproach. And we read in the law of Nehemiah 1 and 3, but the reason is not only the plethora of psychological ills that are a byproduct of centuries of racial policies. The reason also includes sin, for which we are wholly responsible and for which we ought to confess to God, as Nehemiah did. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor have we kept the judgment which thou had commanded thy servant Moses. That's verse 7. And as we seek to rebuild our communities, we need to pay heed to Nehemiah's model. Before he sought to relocate a single person or lay a single brick, Nehemiah confessed due to sin to the Lord. We need to confess our individual and corporate sins. Hallelujah. As well, recognizing our responsibilities for our present stature. Hallelujah. And restoring our relationship with our God. For only when we have restored that relationship will community and restoration be possible. Hallelujah. And we know that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to his holy name. And, excuse me. Hallelujah. And someone has said that to err is human and to forgive is divine. And we know that this saying, however, is missing one very important element, and that is confession. We know that before we can realize God's forgiveness, we must first confess our sins. And we know that confession is an acknowledgement that we have failed to meet the standards God has established. That is, we have missed the mark. We do not need to inform God of our sins, since he already knows we have missed the mark. Our confession, however, enables us in humility and broken spirit to drop the facet of perfection before him, which lead to restoration. And David's willingness to confess his sins endeared him to God, for God is a lover of the truth. We read in the last Psalm 51, David laid out his guilt before God, and he cried out to God's forgiveness. He made a commitment not to repeat the past mistakes and asked to be filled with God's Spirit. Unfortunately, the society in which we live today places little value on confession. Yet we have more needs than ever to practice. We need to confess the sin of racism. We need to confess the sin of sexism. We need to confess, hallelujah, the sins of violent lifestyle. We need to confess the sins of so low self-expectation that causes us to squander our God-given gifts and greed that hoards resources instead of sharing them with others in need. Now, God will be able to heal us individually and as a nation only when we confess our failures and cry for his forgiveness and power to make necessary changes in our lives. Hallelujah. And we know, thank you, Jesus, that shameful behavior is being displayed in magazines, in movies, and on television. We know that immortality is even joked about. The world is seeking to convince everyone that nothing is sinful anymore. So we must be on guard. And that's why our sermon on tonight entitled, We're Taking Action Against Any Compromise in Our Hearts. Hallelujah. We know that a permissive attitude toward evil will lead us to fall into sin. Hallelujah. That's why we ought to deal radically with every form of wickedness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus went so far as to say that we should pluck out our eye if it causes us to sin. You can find that scripture reading in the law of Matthew 5:29. Hallelujah. He didn't mean we should maim our body, but whether we are to take strong action when tempted to sin. All right, we have books, we have magazines, and video images that arouse wrong desires. They must be deliberately avoided. This is also what Paul had in mind when he said we are to put to death the deeds of the body. We read in the law of Romans 8:13, and it reads like this. It says, someone who is indifferent to the sin, hallelujah, around him, a trifle with it in his own life, is in a grave danger. We cannot ignore the seriousness of this issue. It is time to take action. Hallelujah. So to avoid being tempted for forbidden fruit, I encourage you to stay away from the devil's orchard. Hallelujah. And so, for the record, in this season that is upon us right now, we're just hours away, I'm encouraging those of you that are on the road to be mindful, to pray and ask God to send his angelic angels to camp all around about you as you go from one destination to another, because we know that the enemy is out lurking around trying to see whom he may devour. But if you let God be the driver of your car, then God will keep you in perfect peace, because we know that the enemy is on the rampage on tonight. He's out to kill, to steal, and destroy. You said, destroy what, Overseer? Destroy your happiness. Destroy your loved ones. Destroy your family, your friends. Hallelujah. And those that you have come to love so well. I have been on the phone today, and I tell you, there is so much hurt out there in the land, over the land, over the world. I tell you, death has been knocking on so many of my friends and constituents and pastors, loved ones. I mean, it's been one loved one after another. First the mother, then a nephew, then a brother, an uncle, and the list just go on and on. So I'm encouraging those of you that have to be on the road to be extra careful and take the Lord longer with you everywhere you go. Take God with you. We are to always be mindful to keep God in everything that we do and we say, because we know that the times in which we are living in, we are living in perilous times, saints of God. And friends, and you that are out there in my podcast listening audience on tonight, I'm encouraging you to be careful. God said to be careful for nothing when it seems like everything is going well. Be careful. Be cautious. And before you make any move, pray and ask for God's guidance on which way you should go. Hallelujah. And God will instruct you on what to do. So in ending, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. Hallelujah. If you have any prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, if you have any prayer petitions for your wife, if you have any petitions for your spouse, if you have any petitions for your loved one, your son or daughter, your aunt and uncle, your grandparents, your niece and nephew, that very special friend of yours that's in the hospital, that's on a respirator, those of you that have friends and loved ones that might have been diagnosed as having cancer, if you have any prayer petitions, hallelujah, that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry. Your station has been Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. You can make your correspondent attention to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Until we meet again, it will be Christmas. Hallelujah. And until we meet again across these airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, my brother, my sister, bye for now. Have a merry, very blessed Christmas. Keep Jesus first and foremost in your walk. Bye for now. God love you, and so do I. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. Be encouraged. Jesus love you. Bye for now.
That you're with me in the first.